Welcome, I'm Lana and this is 314. My guest is Vince Vox, founder of the Red Elephants. He's going to discuss his new campaign, Film Your Marxist Professors. Guaranteed you've had one because they're everywhere. We have a lot of work to do to take back our institutions from filthy anti-white Marxists, but it will happen because communism always fails. Vince Vox, up next. Vince, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So I've enjoyed your content, Red Elephants. So tell us about your journey, you know, speaking up against, how did you get to the point where you're speaking up against Marxism and to where you started Red Elephants?
It was only like just a little bit over a year ago to where, you know, I come from Chicago. So the majority of the people, my acquaintances now, they're not my friends anymore, but the majority of the people that I hung around with as a kid turned out to be uber liberals. And I was just getting sick and tired of not being able to express some of my thoughts and opinions, you know, on social media for people to see. And I always had it in the back of my mind that I wish I could change people's minds. I wish I could change people's minds. And it's always been like that, even since I was just, you know, just had just my personal Facebook page or whatever the case may be, personal Twitter or whatever it may be. If I could just change one person's mind. Well, that turned into, okay, let me create a Facebook page and hope maybe I can change more than one person's mind on something, whatever it may be. And then it turned into, I think we're over like 315,000 followers on Facebook. We reach about 12 to 15 million people per week on average on the Facebook page, organic reach of different people. And then started the YouTube channel, started the Twitter page, and it just kind of grew from there. And hopefully we can grow even more, but there's many, many issues, that I've seen as in the progression up until this point where I've noticed a lot of different things. I used to be a pretty staunch Ron Paul libertarian, and my views have sort of morphed from then, into different things. And I have different beliefs that differ from many mainstream conservatives, as you probably already know. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed this education system. The education system we have is just completely ruined with this Marxist ideology and this postmodernist ideology that is embedded into the curriculum of American academia. And I thought that in the creation of Film Your Marxist Professors campaign, I thought that there's not going to be any right-wing conservatives just flooding to the education system to become teachers anytime soon. So we have to nip it in the bud, as you may say. We have to attack it at the source. And the source of this indoctrination camp that is just basically breeding all of these postmodernists and Marxists is the American system. And I thought that I can show that these professors, on a public level, on a massive public scale, that would probably be the correct way to attack it.
Oh, I agree. It's definitely the educational system is at the heart of it. And I know a lot of communists had bragged and talked about, you know, we have to get the minds of the youth. And that is exactly what they're doing. How do you think a lot of these Marxists took over our institutions that, you know, more conservative people built in the first place? Because it wasn't always that way.
Well, the Frankfurt School were the Marxism, the Marxism in the form of a curriculum came from the Frankfurt School, and it entered into the English department in Yale. I think even Jordan Peterson talks about this a lot, about how it kind of came into American academia. And this is basically like the mainstream. And what they do is essentially, everyone always asks me, oh, like leftists I'm talking to, what is cultural Marxism? Well, it's just Marxism, but in culture, the culture war. Essentially, all it is, And I think that Marxism it correlates to postmodernism in a lot of different ways. I know that there's been many intellectuals that, you know, consider themselves postmodernist, and other intellectuals that consider themselves Marxist, where they butt heads on certain issues. But if you just look at it like this, the white male is the bourgeoisie, and if you can get rid of the white male, then all of the problems of the proletariat, which are the transgenders, the gays, the blacks, the lesbians, all these different things who are in the oppressed class, will thrive. And that's essentially what this ideology consists of.
Yeah, and that's why they're working so hard to change the demographics of white countries, because then it'll be easier for them to bring in Marxism. It's really quite simple. Well, I wanted to talk about, you have a campaign that you started. You brought up Film Your Marxist Professors, which I think is great. Jordan Peterson, as I said before, was planning on creating a website, a database where he was exposing neo-Marxist course content. But for some reason, that fell through. But tell us about your campaign.
Yeah, so ours is a little bit different from, I'd have to look into what he was trying to start, but ours is a little bit different from like what Campus Reform does or anything like that, where they're just basically picking up YouTube videos that are less seen, or students sometimes send them videos. What our campaign is we are reaching out to students all across the country to encourage them to send us their videos. What this basically is this campaign basically consists of is us reaching out to students and asking them to send us their videos, and to basically make them not worry about their some sort of punishment from their teachers or university for filming them or recording audio files within these classrooms or courses. Because a lot of times when we talk to some of these students, they're saying, "Oh, I'm a little bit weary about recording video because right when we walk into the class, there's a sign on the door that says, do not film in class." And that's for a reason. That they do that on purpose, deliberately, to discourage students from filming within class, because they know that there'll be a public heat coming down on them if the public does hear what they're teaching in their classroom.
Yeah, then everyone will see how hateful and full of violence they actually are. Yeah, that's why they're paranoid about people filming.
Right. And you know, these are most of the time, a lot of these universities are public universities where our tax dollars are going towards this indoctrination. Our tax dollars are getting sucked out of our wallets for our children to be taught to hate themselves because they're a certain race. And it's just ridiculous. And so what we've done with a few videos is we've even inverted the videos to make it look like it's coming from the other side of the classroom than it was originally filmed at. So we're trying to keep the students who send us these videos as anonymous as possible. We have teachers who we even keep in contact with, who share the same belief system as us at different schools around the country, who feed us and also encourage their students to do this. So it's hopefully turning out to be a very good thing. I just wish that everyone would do this. Can you imagine if all the large major internet platforms, political internet platforms that lean conservative would do this? I mean, our education system would be changed in no time flat.
Oh, yeah. We talk about that all the time. More hidden cameras exposing this stuff, auditing classes too in college, and just filming it just to show people what's going on. Now, tell us about Professor Ponce of California before we play his clip.
Yeah, so this was actually sent to me by a student. It was over an hour long lecture I had to dig through, but it really caught my attention because he said, "You have to watch this." And he said, "You have to watch this. There's a lot of things in here that I think would be perfect for your campaign." And so I watched it and I dug through the entire hour. It was more than an hour lecture. And I basically cut out some of the most radical things that he said there and put together that 2-minute clip. And, you know, he said some things like that were completely on the line of this postmodernist and Marxist belief system, where we're basically living in this entire system of white supremacy. You know, even the FBI crime statistics are created by white supremacists, you know, and things like that. And we make the laws and, you know, all these things. But yeah, I mean, I guess we'll just have to let them listen to it before we comment.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I just want to say this guy, this professor, he obviously has a lot of European DNA, and most of the kids in the classroom look white as well. So let's just, I'm just going to pause it in between so that we can make some comments about this ridiculous stuff.
And there were people here, an indigenous people, who paid the price, the very heavy price, for this project that is unfolding of white supremacy.
Okay, stop there. You know, he's talking about so-called indigenous people. Well, as we know, they were slaughtering each other long before Europeans came. They were also fighting for territory and also flooding European countries today. They're doing the same thing that they complain about that happened to them, aren't they?
Right. I mean, if you look at the Apaches, the Comanches, some of the more brutal tribes, they were literally scalping people. They were raping children. They were raping women, all for territory. You had some of the northern Native Americans coming down to the West Coast to slaughter tribes for the salt, for the production of salt, to get their salt, to get the resources, all sorts of things. And they were, I mean, there's this very perfect clip. I don't know if you've ever seen it going around Facebook, but it's basically of this man talking to this tribe leader, and he's like, "You didn't just sprout from the plains of these fields." I mean, he said that you were slaughtering people, you were slaughtering tribes for land, for no less noble a cause than what we are doing right now. And it's almost like, I mean, first of all, if you talk to many scientists, a lot of the people that are so-called indigenous, according to them, aren't even indigenous to this land because they came through the Bering Land Bridge from Eastern Europe. So there are several different theories out there. But, you know, when it comes to, oh, it's our land first, you stole it from us, or whatever the case may be, I always just bring up the point then, did Mayweather steal the title belt from Conor McGregor? Because it's essentially the same thing. It was conquered.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all men have been fighting for territory, but only when white guys do it, we get charged for it, right?
Right. I mean, you can't leave out these Marxists, these postmodernists, they leave out the Bantus in Africa, the expansionist history of them, the expansionist history of the Moors invading Spain, invading Sicily. We can look at the Islam, for instance, Muslims. They are that group has the biggest expansionist history amongst any other group, and no one seems to mention them. I mean, even though this Arab slave trade is currently going on right now, even in Libya.
And then, of course, we have, you know, Israel taking land from Palestinians. This is very modern. Anyway, let's continue.
Right. The fact that we exist in a white supremacist, patriarchal, heteronormative capitalist system. Thomas Jefferson, all men are created equal, yet I hold 200 slaves and I've raped many of them.
Okay, right there, right. Okay, they're denying that white slavery existed, right? Or that indentured servants existed, or that slavery existed amongst all races. And further, we know that Africans, they sold their own. Slavery is still ongoing there today. He brings up rape. We know that that's ongoing in African culture. And then he talks about how all men are equal except, you know, slaves. Well, actually, a lot of the founding fathers, they didn't believe that races were the same. They thought they were different.
Right. And you know what, the thing is that, you know, scratch all of that stuff. Let's just look at, like you said, the original Slavs, slaves. Let's look at the Arab slave trade, which was the largest slave trade in history, where they actually had to deem it. It was named the African Holocaust, where Arab Muslims killed around 20 or 30 million blacks. The numbers are still even blurry, but they know that it was so many that it was deemed the African Holocaust. If you Google the African Holocaust, the Arab slave trade is going to come up. And you know what? When whites abolished slavery, the Arab Muslims didn't, because that's it's right. Still going on to this day, and it took place for way more centuries than it did than the transatlantic slave trade took place. You know, this whole thing is, all you have to do is, you cannot look at the past with the eyes of modern eyes. Because if you look at, let's just look at Hamilton, U.S. president. He died during a duel. This is how things were done back then.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty different. Let's continue with the clip.
Beauty of the law. If you can write it, you can convince all others to follow it, just like all of us do today, when we shouldn't. Many of the laws existing, we should be violating those laws. We're taught to get up and pledge allegiance to the flag every single day, a flag that's not really representative of everybody who's standing up in that room. Okay. Maybe that's the way it should be taught.
It's all funny how, just a pot, he's talking about the flag, how it's not representative anymore. Well, it was, and then they came here and flooded us. They're doing the same thing to us that they accuse us of doing to these indigenous people. Right. And then they come and say, oh, it doesn't represent us anymore, so therefore we have to change everything. Well, that's what they're saying that we did.
Right. And so is he admitting that there's been no progress since since the founding fathers created this country? Is he saying that there's been no progress? Isn't he a progressive? I mean, I'm assuming that he probably is. He has some progressive belief systems. But to say that, the most backlash that he got that I saw online came from Mexican veterans that served in, for instance, like Vietnam War, veterans that served in some of the Middle Eastern wars that didn't even need to happen. Those were probably the biggest backlash that I saw. People, veterans, at that comment in particular.
Yeah, and he's basically saying that white man wrote the laws. I think he's going to go on about the white man's constitution, so therefore we should break the law. He's encouraging people to break the law and do what?
He's advocating for people to break the law and overthrow this white supremacist system of government, in his own words. And he's still teaching.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That is the most surprising part.
And it's funny, he wants to overthrow the very people that had brought us the ideas of, you know, freedom and liberty and equality and rights and all these, you know, things that he holds dear. He wants to overthrow those people. Anyway, we'll continue.
Those who this flag represents, stand up. And all, and maybe 50% of this room, you stay sitting down, because this is not for you. We do it through the Constitution, which should be called a white man's constitution. And we still get up before every ball game, and we're supposed to, these folks here are supposed to respect that flag. When Colin Kaepernick stands up, and literally takes a knee, but stands up for justice, for what is right, what happens to him? He's vilified. Karl Marx.
No, he wasn't. People were praising him when he did that, so that's a bunch of bull. Right. Now, what do you think when he says, white man's constitution?
Yeah, when he said that these people here are supposed to stand for that flag, first of all, those people don't even exist that he pointed at. Those people are already dead. We conquered them. I think that these people are just extremely salty over losing.
Yeah.
This is what it comes down to. It's like all the Conor McGregor fans who were like bashing Mayweather online after he lost the fight. That's all it is to me. I mean, that's what I can see from it. I mean, if you watch the video, it sounds like he's extremely into it. Like, this is, we can't be doing this. We have to overthrow this country. I mean, based on current laws, that can be considered a violation of our laws, and he should probably be checked out by the FBI. And maybe that's why he's kind of like doing his classes online. Maybe he's being looked at right now. I don't know.
I hope so. I mean, we just saw a clip the other day we played in Weekend Warriors on MSNBC where there's a guy on there calling to, you know, we need to get out there. We need revolution in the streets. Basically, yeah, we need to overthrow the government. I mean, they're just openly talking about it. It's like American Bolsheviks, basically. That's what it is. We'll continue.
One of the most profound thinkers in the history of Western philosophy. So it is fitting that a white supremacist of old with white supremacist of today exists and sit. They're smiling.
Trump is not a white supremacist. He doesn't want to lord over non-whites and enslave them and oppress. They actually believe this nonsense, though.
Right. Well, what they believe is that this whole system is... This is basically like a whole Tariq Nasheed line. If you ever look at the... They believe that the system is a white supremacist system. That's what they believe. They believe that... He began the lecture with saying that Richard Spencer is not anything to worry about, and that Richard Spencer is correct on everything he says. He says that the system of white supremacy is everyone is a white supremacist. Every white person is a white supremacist, essentially, in this theory that he has. And if you look at the picture of Andrew Jackson behind Trump there, it was actually quite funny because when he was greeting those, I think they were Navajo at the White House or something, where he was talking about Elizabeth Warren and she thinks that she's a Cherokee or something. They were standing and Trump had them stand in front of the portrait of Andrew Jackson. And we all know, you know, about the Trail of Tears and stuff like that. I think that was just kind of like a troll on his part, but it was quite funny to see that he was standing there again in that picture.
I've actually heard some historians say that Trail of Tears is actually bullshit and that was all just made up. So
It could be. I mean, we know that the majority of the people that were here died from things like cholera and influenza and,
right,
and all sorts of different things, diseases, right? And that the whole smallpox blankets was a bullshit myth, just like the roller coasters into the ovens and the lampshades and the soap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and people forget too that the Black Plague was brought to Europe by Asians that wiped out half the population. I mean, this is nothing new. I mean, this is another reason why people shouldn't mass migrate across the world. Anyway,
let's... Right, I mean, we're getting Zika, the Ebola, we're getting all these different things here that's never been here, and it's because we're not hosing them off with fire hoses when they come across the border anymore.
All right, let's continue.
In the White House, abolition. What does abolition mean? Abolition means we must destroy it, not reform it.
No, calling for violence, right? Calling for violence?
Yep, we must destroy it. That's what he said.
No writing your congressperson. We need to smash white supremacy. And we try to use legal means, but are legal means enough?
In fact, we'll have to, when we do abolish this white democracy, that it will have to be in conflict, that it would have to be something where we have to bear arms, where we'd have to go against and do what is illegal.
Well, what is illegal in the eyes of the state?
So now it's fine. Now it's fine for lefties to get machine guns and all these, you know, automatic weapons and just go kill in the streets because white supremacy and racism. I mean, it's just outrageous.
And it's funny that the guy that was sitting there talking about this, the white kid, was about probably like 150 pounds soaking wet. So, I mean, these people wouldn't stand a chance. That's what it comes down to. These people wouldn't stand a chance if it really came down to it, you know what I mean? But you know, this is exactly what these people do. And when they talk about is illegal means enough, they don't even need is legal means enough. They're doing it by legal means right now. The invasion is underway.
I mean,
we can look at places like San Francisco, where the Board of Supervisors voted to change Columbus Day in San Francisco to Indigenous Peoples Day forever. We can look at San Jose, where the Brown Berets, a Mexican nationalist group, basically forced the city council in San Jose to remove the statue of Christopher Columbus out of the city hall. They're mostly a non-white city council. The Board of Supervisors in San Francisco are mostly non-whites. So they are taking over our city councils. They are decapitating our culture and the figures that represent our culture, like Christopher Columbus. And if you think that George Washington and Abraham Lincoln and all the other people aren't next, and even the Mount Rushmore, if you think that that's not next, think again, because the Constitution will be a shredded up figment of our imagination when the full invasion takes hold, and when whites do become the true minority in America. If you don't think that it's going to happen, just take a look over at South Africa.
Yep. Perfect
where
example.
It's already happening. Take a look at here, California, like I mentioned. Yeah. It's already happening.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I mean, it already is happening legally. I mean, the legal immigration is a bigger problem than illegal immigration. I mean, we have over 1 million people coming in a year legally, and then they bring in more from there, and it turns into millions before you know. That's like importing a whole city, a big city, every single year, and they're not coming from European countries either.
I can't help but wonder if they really do, you know, because we know that the 1965 Hart-Celler Act, that's where it basically changed everything, right? Prior to the 1965 Hart-Celler Act, It was a plethora of different European countries that were the source of immigration for each of the 50 states. Post-1965 Hart-Celler Act, which that immigration amendment has been amended, I believe, 14 or 17 times since then. Now, every single state, their source of immigration pretty much is Mexico, 40 out of the 50 states. And I can't help but wonder if they truly do discriminate against white immigrants, because, for instance, my wife, is her bloodline is from Portugal, and I had to basically tell them how much I made. I had to make over a certain amount so that they can be sure that she, you know, she can become a citizen here. This was over a decade ago. And so, I mean, I can't help but wonder if they are truly selecting only Mexico for this to happen. And if you look into all the different groups who are supporting all this and who are funding all this, you can see that, yes, they truly are.
And the other thing is white supremacy. I mean, what does that even mean? You know, I've done a video about this, kind of joking around about it. White supremacy these days, a lot of people think it means, oh, white people lording over non-whites, treating them badly, you know, we want slavery again, something like that. But no, it actually just means white people being a majority anywhere and having a country of their own. So they're never going to stop as long as white people exist somewhere. What do you think?
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that as we're finding out now, and I think more people are becoming aware of, even some of the boomer conservatives out there are becoming aware of, that if this country does not remain a majority white, it's not going to run properly. You can look all across the world. You can find me one country that is not majorly white that runs properly. Just give me a few. I mean, when I'm not talking about the East, the Asian countries either, people. I think people are starting to notice their cities change. I think people are starting to notice as we see more and more people come out in droves and chant Make America Mexico again. We're starting to see our culture being stripped away from us. People are seeing their statues being taken down. People are seeing the names of their holidays being replaced, the names of their streets being replaced. And I think people are starting to become aware, like we saw in the poll, 90% of Americans agree with Trump on immigration. So the Democrats are on the wrong side of this, and they know it.
Now let's get back to the professors, because you did a little compilation of some Marxist professors and some of the outrageous headlines recently. So let's just play a little clip that you did here.
Texas A&M professor asks, when is it okay to kill whites? New York professor says having a white nuclear family promotes white supremacy. Professor tweets that white people should commit mass suicide. College professor says kill cops, kill all white people, and kill the straights. Professor says all I want for Christmas is white genocide. Georgetown professor says all white people are racist. Trinity College professor calls white people inhuman. Let them fucking die. College professor says believing in hard work is a white ideology. College professor says white people are conditioned to commit mass murder. A professor equates math with white privilege. A professor says white supremacist patriarchy is responsible for the Vegas shooting. Professors hold a white racism course at FGCU. USC professor calls for a Holocaust against all white people. Professor says I'll teach my children to be cautious and distrust friendship with white people. Baltimore professor says white people need to personally give all of their money to black people. College professor says some white people may have to die to solve racism. College professor says white masculinity is a problem for America. Georgetown professor says all white people are racist. Rutgers professor was taken to the NYC hospital for psychiatric evaluation after he tweeted threatening to kill white people. White professor calls all white people to mass suicide because of slavery. Here's a slide from a college classroom that says white tears on a mug. Here's another slide from a college classroom that says white people stay colonizing. White privilege does exist. Bigfoot, unicorns, reverse racism, what do they all have in common? Stating that reverse racism isn't real. Y'all white people are dangerous. The horror story is white people are a plague to the planet. Here's one that says white people are crazy. And finally, how white people plagued society.
Now, these are just a few. I have a couple other ones here. You know, the All I Want for Christmas is White Genocide professor. You mentioned that one earlier. He was rehired by NYU. You knew that was going to happen. But there was a Texas University paper that printed White People Are an Abomination. I did a video about that. University of New Mexico professor said racism is a white people problem. And the only good white identity is one that constantly criticizes white people. Hunter College offered students an abolition of whiteness course. Evergreen State College had a day of absence observance. Remember that when they asked the white people to stay off the campus? And I think there was one teacher who didn't, and then he was viciously attacked and had to actually quit. There was a Hawaii professor demanding college to stop hiring white cis men. MIT formed a white accountability group. St. John's College in Santa Fe had a study group to talk about the depravity of white people. I mean, we could just go on and on. Florida campus, you mentioned, had offered a course on white racism, and that was in response to the It's Okay to Be White flyers. We're literally saying, it's okay to be white. And what's the response? No, it's not. It's literally not okay to be white. Plus, we can talk about the campus workshops on white privilege, white racism, the safe spaces, their special privileges, you know, just for non-whites. We even have Black Lives Matter on campuses saying that they should get free housing and tuition for Black students because of racism and slavery. I mean, it's just in your face, right? Like how bad it is.
You know, it's funny. I just did a video today responding, a reaction video to a Vice documentary. I don't know if you saw it, but there's this Vice documentary that they did about this group where it's an all Black women group. And it's a Black only retreat to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Because they say that they're sick of white people. And the leader of this retreat says that the only way to overcome racism in America is if Blacks find their own place in America, basically promoting racial segregation. Now, when someone like Jared Taylor promotes voluntary racial segregation, he's automatically deemed a racist and a white supremacist, Nazi, KKK, whatever the case may be. But then when a Black lady promotes racial segregation and says that Blacks need to segregate from whites, then she's put up on a pedestal and called a god and very empowering. This is exactly what this Vice documentary did. And I just think it's extremely hypocritical. Not to mention this whole thing about whites are so racist and racism and blah, 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 and whites need to do better. I mentioned this in the video I did about the SPLC. The SPLC has a graph where they list out how many Black separatist groups, how many KKK groups, so on and so forth. And the Black separatist groups are at 193 groups in their graph, whereas the KKK is only at 130 groups. Now, you have to take into account and keep in mind that Blacks only make up about 13 to 15% of the American population. So if the Black separatist groups outweigh the KKK groups, then where is the racism really truly coming from? I mean, if you look at interracial crime in 2015, there was a total of 587,000 crimes. 498,000 of those were committed by Blacks, Black on whites. So interracial crime, a total of 587,000 crimes. This includes robbery, property crime, assault, murder, and rape. Almost 85 to 86% of those crimes were Black on white crimes. Then you can look at the murder statistics. Yep. If you pull up the murder statistics from 2005 to 2015. Black on white murders was at over 5,000, whereas white on black murders was at like 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
So where is the racism actually coming from? Yeah. And we see these world star hip hop videos. We see all these different street fight videos coming out where you see a lot of these where people are getting jumped. A lot of them are black on white.
Yeah,
we rarely see a bunch of white people jump a black person.
Yeah. It's
so
true.
I want to know is what I say is that if your whole point is, and your whole point in life is to make people, white people, do better with racism and be less racist, I think we as a group are the best at that.
Yeah, we're the least racist, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, it's funny, too, this movie Black Panther, this mythical place, Wakanda, the super high advanced, you know, king society with flying saucers and all that. You know, they're promoting a black ethno state. In the movie, and everyone is just praising it. The liberal media is just like, this is amazing. Finally, a place just for blacks. This is funny because this is what the alt-right is talking about.
Black ethno
yeah.
state? Right. Is Detroit exactly. a black ethno state? I didn't see any flying pyramids there. I didn't see any pyramids launching into space in Detroit.
I mean, it's just amazing how they can't see the double standard, though. Like, they can all have homelands, but we can't. No, in fact, they want to have their ethno state in our countries. That's what they want. It's just outrageous. Well, I have another really good clip from another professor who's denying that communism killed anyone. Let's watch the clip.
Yes, I have a question for the liberal spokesman. You said that the idea of communist mass killings was baloney.
It's baloney.
Something to that word. Yet in 1956, Nikita Khrushchev, the premier of the Soviet Union, apologized to the Communist Party for the killings that were done by Stalin under his personality cult.
Yep.
So he conceded that there were a lot of murders. And I have a question for you. Was Khrushchev lying? Or if you concede that there were state murders under Stalin, do you see that that's a continuing tool under communist regimes? The consensus number seems to be between 100 and 150 million people killed by communist regimes. And I'm wondering, communism wasn't successful. Do you think maybe there's an optimum number that if enough people were killed that it would be successful? Maybe a billion, 2 billion?
Dr. Burke?
Well, that's not a serious question.
Well, it is actually it is. Mass murders,
okay,
it's a tool of the communist regimes.
I'm gonna answer you.
So they thought it worked. Did they not do it enough?
I'm going to answer you.
Okay.
Okay? You finished asking? I'm going to answer you. What you said is bullshit. It's wrong. It's a lie.
It's amazing.
The history of the Soviet Union.
People are clapping for that, too. It's amazing. Sorry, go on.
The most falsified. But of all the falsifications that go on in the school systems in this country, this world, Soviet history is falsified the most. I have spent many years researching this and similar questions, and I have yet to find one crime that Stalin committed. I know they all say he killed 20, 30, 40 million people. It's bullshit.
I mean, unbelievable. And it's funny that bullshit. I mean, there's people that saw. My family was around when this was happening. It's interesting that he's saying history is falsified. But then when it comes to World War II, when it comes to Hitler, when it comes to colonialism, Confederates, all of that is just absolutely irrefutable truth. But communist murders, we need revisionist history immediately, you know.
What about, let's just say whatever he said was true, which it's not, but let's just say what he said was true. Okay, what about Pol Pot? What about Mao? What about, you can look at all these different places, Cambodia. You can look at several different places where communist regimes have killed people. And Holodomor, Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
right? We can look at many different places where communist regimes have killed people. And I just think that it's funny how these people who deny these communist massacres that have happened throughout history are, again, praised. They are not shunned. They are not ostracized. Whereas people who question the amount of people that were killed in the Holocaust or how they were killed or how they died, then they're immediately ostracized.
Put in prison even.
Their jobs. Yeah. They're put in prison in some countries in Europe. That's great. You're going to have to send that to me. I'm going to do a video about that.
Yeah,
that's
hilarious.
That's interesting. That's very interesting.
I mean, geez, the balls, though. I mean, really, the balls. I mean, he knows he's a liar. I mean, he has to know he's just a liar. Jeez. Well, in your view, what is the solution, to take back our school systems, the universities? They didn't build these institutions. How do we get them back?
We have to shame them. We have to publicly shame them. And then we have to publicly hang them. No, I'm just joking. Cut that part out. We have to publicly shame them. And we have to do it by campaigns like these, Film Your Marxist Professors. And we have to get other conservative outlets to also be pushing this hard, not just the Film Your Marxist Professors campaign, but any campaign pushing campus reform does a great job. But like I said, we are actually encouraging and reaching out to students in schools to get them to send us videos of them filming their professors in class, even audio files. We want you to send us your audio files. Send us your audio files. Give us the name of your professors. Then no one will know who took the audio file. We have to get our kids to stop being afraid of filming in classrooms just because the teacher says no. Another student told me that one of his professors told him that it was illegal in the state of California to film inside your classroom. That is exactly what this professor told this
I've
kid.
I've never heard of that law.
Right. It's not. It's not a law. And so especially when he goes to a publicly funded university.
That's right.
So we have to encourage these kids. We have to get these kids to break out of this being scared to film in their classroom. Because I guarantee you there are probably millions of conservative-leaning students with values who see these things and just let it roll off their skin just to get a good grade, but know that this is bad, and this is probably brainwashing other simple-minded folks in their classrooms they need to be filming these professors.
And it's important to say it's not just an American problem. Canada is infested with this, Australia, a lot of European countries. So we should be doing it everywhere, not just America. Now, are you hearing also from a lot of younger white students that contact you and say how they're being repelled by a lot of this anti-white indoctrination? Are they reaching out to you at all?
Yeah, we've had several messages who said, I understand now why you're taking the position that you're taking. Where someone would message me before, actually one person in particular who would message the page back and forth, and he would come out and against me and say, I can't believe you're taking the turn of identity politics. I can't believe you're going forth with this identity political viewpoints and pushing, you know, your videos towards like an identity politics type road. And I said, well, all politics are identity politics.
Right.
You'll understand very soon enough. And he, you know, he just didn't want to have any of it. He didn't want to, he was extremely angry. And I could tell by the way he was typing his messages. Well, 2 months later, after seeing whatever the case may be, because he stayed subscribed to my YouTube channel, 2 months later, he came back and he said, I get it. I understand. The Constitution will be nothing unless we fix this first. And that's exactly my point. I mean, that, and I get messages like that all the time, by the way, too. So it's working. It's working.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are realizing that all these other groups have an identity and they're grouping up and they're ganging up against us. So eventually you're going to have to group up with other white people just to protect the life that you enjoy and hold so dear.
Right.
I know I hate one of those claims that, oh, you're just like SJWs. Do you ever hear that one?
Mm-hmm. Yep, definitely. And especially in the sense that where even conservatives have messaged me and said, oh, I can't believe, like, what's the problem with one group, with a group that comes here more than any other immigrant group? What's the problem with that? And then I was like, hey, listen, the problem is that this wasn't happening before. They made this happen with that Immigration Act in 1965. And I showed them the maps. I showed them the mixture of different European countries, where the source of immigration for each of the states was coming from. And then I showed him the map today and he didn't respond. So we'll have to see what happens with that one. But I get that from conservatives all the time. They're just too stuck and they're too conditioned to believe what they believe. I mean, we see this all the time when someone, there was a free speech rock in the University of Tennessee where someone spray painted white pride on it. And everyone was enraged that this rock said white pride, but if it were to say black pride or Latino pride or whatever the case may be, everyone would be fine with it and think that it's empowering. And even white people are trained now. They're conditioned, mentally conditioned to see that rock and say, oh my God, white pride, that's racist. We have to break that conditioning. We have to break that conditioning. That's the only way that we're going to win, along with also, yeah, breaking the conditioning. There's your answer right there. Breaking the conditioning is the way that we're going to win.
Making it socially acceptable and being unapologetic and just really laughing in their faces and laughing at their arguments. I mean, that's really how it's going to be done. And I think a lot of this youth that's up and coming, the younger generations than us, that they will feel more rebellious and they will let their hair down a bit more and fight back against some of this. Now, one thing I also notice is when you confront a lot of these lefties, when they're attacking whites, they'll just say, no, actually, we're just attacking the social construct of white. We're not actually talking about white people. Do you ever encounter that?
Yeah, that race is a social construct. I've heard all the different things and I've read all the different books where they're getting these ideas from that, whites made Hispanics honorable whites and they're going to make the Asians honorable whites next and all these different things just to increase their numbers and grow in power in this white supremacist system. Like I said, it's like a nest where thousands and thousands of spiders are just pouring out of this nest. And that nest is the American academia system. Forget just America, Europe, Canada, everywhere. That's the academia system where this Marxist nest is just splurging spiders. We have to attack that nest. And I think that this is the best way to do it.
I appreciate your time today. I think this is a really great project. I encourage a lot of you students out there, start filming your professors and send the footage, send the audio files. Tell people how they can do that and best way to reach you.
Yeah, right now we have the Facebook page. If you go to Facebook, Film Your Marxist Professors, it should be the first one up. You could see they're at Film Your Marxist Professors on Facebook. And you just go ahead and message us. You send a message to us, and we're pretty responsive, and we'll get back to you. And like I said, we will make the video. If you want to stay extremely anonymous, if you're very worried, we'll make the videos look like it comes from the other side of the classroom. We can do that with editing software. We'll keep you completely anonymous. You have nothing, absolutely nothing to worry about.
All right, Vince, thank you so much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
College kids gone Marxist is the biggest cliche of all, but for most, once they get a real job, get married, and have kids, reality sinks in and they stop being a Marxist. A big thanks to Red Ice members who make what we do possible. If you want to help support our team or watch all our content, head on over to redicemembers.com and sign up for a membership. For the cost of a designer beer or coffee a month, you can help our team produce pro-European identitarian media. Thanks for all your support. See you on the next one.